the Lord has done among us this week already. Can we go ahead and do that? Hey, you guys can have a seat, and as you do, I want to invite you to turn to one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, in Acts chapter 19. We're going to spend here a few moments this morning as we've been talking about being unashamed. We've talked about knowing the gospel, about embracing the gospel, and today we're going to talk about living the gospel. And the way we're going to do this is go through one of my, this passage of Scripture, you normally don't hear about this in Vacation Bible School because it will scare all the children, and so we're going to talk about it today. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, your subtitle may say something like this, "The Seven Sons of Sceva." Now, if anybody is looking for a good band name, you just found it. Isn't that awesome? This, like, if you just show up, you're about to do a show, who's playing? The Seven Sons of Sceva, you sound intense. And this is what happens in this story. The ministry of Jesus is going forth. He has died. He has risen to life. The Holy Spirit has come on the disciples, and they're going everywhere. Saul has been converted to Paul, and all of a sudden the gospel literally is going all over the place, so much so that everybody is sort of hearing about it. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says this, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul." Now stop right there. Whose hands were the miracles being done by? But who was really responsible for it? God. Do you see that? This is huge for us to understand today. If you want to serve the Lord, if you want to be used mightily by the Lord, it's going to happen because He does it. It'll happen maybe through your hands, but it's through His power. "So when God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." That's pretty rad. Verse 13, "Then some," this is another good band name, you ready? "The Itinerant Jewish Exorcist," just saying. If you're ever looking for another good band name or a good album title, we are Itinerant Jewish Exorcist. That's intense. Let me explain what that means. Itinerant is you're traveling around to different places. Jewish is you believe in the Old Testament, but you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Exorcist, your job is taking demons out of people. Now, they don't make college degrees for this anymore, but these guys are rolling around. So if they are itinerant Jewish exorcists, do they believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Yes or no? No, they don't. Now look what happens. "Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims.'" Did you catch that? They do not believe that Jesus' name is able to save, but they are definitely wanting to use it to be able to make a profit in their own business. So we're saying they're coming up, they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, but they realize that Paul and all these other disciples are walking around, and when they say things, demons are fleeing, and they're like, we know how to boost the business. So they go up to people and will say, if they believe that this person has a demon, they'll say, "I'm going to tell you in the name of Jesus, the Jesus that Paul preaches about, you come on out," which is going to be awesome. Verse 14, "Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them." Listen to this statement. "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" Now, I don't know what your belief on all these type of things are, whether you think this is something that's sort of like a fairy tale or something that happened a long time ago, but if this is word is to be true, and I believe it is, it means that there is a spiritual realm, that there is evil forces that work against the activity of God. And they are obviously aware of Jesus, who sort of set everything off. But they're also aware of a human, a single person, not an angel, a person, a preacher, someone who is going on mission for the Lord. And they have him on the radar as someone to watch out for. And so this demon speaks to these seven sons of Sceva, these Jewish itinerant exorcists, and says, "Yeah, we know about Jesus. You call on Jesus, the one who Paul proclaims? We know about Jesus. We know about Paul. But who in the world are you? We've never even heard about you, little riffraff." And look what happens. "And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." You see why we don't talk about this at VBS? This is a shame. This is a shame. Okay. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it to come to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now, this little short story, you obviously see why a lot of people don't talk about it, but this story is huge for me. Because what it shows is this, is that today, this week, if you feel like you have been frustrated, you feel like you have had things coming against you, some of you barely made it here because you felt like all these random circumstances were trying to keep you off that church van, and today you feel like you just can't even get going, and you feel like the mission site you're going to, you're sort of dreading it. Why? Not because you don't love them, but you just feel like there's all these circumstances. Ephesians 6 says it this way, we are in a struggle not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual powers that our eyes cannot see. And there are things that are going to try to work against you and against the ministry of this camp all throughout the day that are going to come against us. And what's happened here in this passage, we see this, that this demonic forces, the forces of evil, the forces that Satan sent out, they know Jesus, they know Paul, and they know certain people today, but some of us are unknown to him. And so here's the question I want you to wrestle with for a few moments this morning. Do I live in such a way that the forces of hell know me by name? Do I live in such a way that the forces of hell know me by name? Am I living in such a way, living in the power of the gospel each and every day, that stuff, kingdom stuff is happening everywhere that I go? Or would I be like one of these seven sons of Sceva and they'd go, we don't even know you're around. You're no threat to what we are doing. Do I live in such a way that the forces of hell know me by name? Here's a goal for you in life. Here's one of my goals in life. Here it is. Make the devil dread your waking up in the morning. Like, make him absolutely hate it. Like, oh, man, she's up again. Oh, man, he got up. That's going to confuse her. And you're going, is that the goal of life? No, 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 that's not the goal of the Christian life. But here's the goal of the Christian life. We should be living the gospel in such a way, proclaiming the gospel in such a way that there are kingdom of darkness that are spread around this city, and everything you're doing is working against that. You're not fighting against poverty today. You're not fighting necessarily against hunger today. You're not fighting against some kid with a bad attitude who likes to fight all the other kids at the park that you're doing. You're not fighting. What you're fighting against are spiritual forces that are trying to rob people. They're trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And until we open our eyes and see there's a battle going on, we're not going to be able to live for the gospel in the way that it is. And so am I living in such a way that the devil says, oh man, he's up again? I want to live in such a way that my life is not characterized by making my little kingdom, but by making much of God's kingdom. And how do you do that? James 4:7 says it this way. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. This isn't a two-step plan. This isn't a three-step plan. This is a one-step plan. When you submit to God, God, I want to do things your way. I'm submitting to you. I am laying down what I want to do. I want to live for you today. I don't want to live for me today. I'm submitting to you. In that moment, when you submit to God, you're also resisting the devil. One step, one move. That's all it is. Submit to God, resist the devil, and this is what he does. He flees. We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it through the life of Job. We see it throughout the pages of Scripture that if Satan doesn't get what he wants, he flees like a scared little baby. And what happens is that how we do this today, you submit to God, you resist the devil, and he's going to flee. How many of you would like to see the devil and the dark forces of your mission site flee today? Would you like to see this? We're like, because you've seen it. You feel like, man, some of these areas we're going to are so dark and so messed up. What's happening? This is what we do. We submit to God. We resist the temptation to live for the devil and watch him flee. A few years ago, we were at our church getting ready for a marriage conference, and I had just finished up a seminary degree where I'd focused all of my work on learning how to, teaching parents to evangelize and disciple their own kids. And as we were finishing up this marriage conference, I had literally spent the last 2.5 years of my life studying up on how fathers should invest in their children. And I open up this program, and there's this advertisement which says this, from the makers of Fireproof comes Courageous. How many of you have ever seen the movie Courageous? Raise your hand. Okay, incredible movie about how fathers need to invest in their kids. And I'm reading this advertisement about this movie coming out. And the last 2.5 years of my life, I've been focusing on this topic. And I'm like, come on. Like, I'm really getting excited in my seat. And I start praying for Alex and Stephen Kendrick. I start praying for these guys making the movie. And I start praying in that moment. This is what I start praying. I say, Lord, would not only you make this movie powerful, but will you rise up some people to be a catalyst in the church at large? I mean, from the program to the events, Lord, would you inspire someone to write Bible study curriculum? Empower them now that they write Bible study curriculum to go along with this movie that would change the church in America and even beyond. Will you do that? Raise those people up in Jesus' name. Amen. And then my phone dings in my pocket. This is no lie. I open up my phone, and there's a new email from somebody I've never met before, and the subject line says courageous. I thought, interesting. Just heard that word somewhere. I open it up, and this woman says, you don't know me, but we've been reading your blog, listening to your sermons, reading some of your books, and there's this movie called Courageous coming out, and we want to know if you would help us write the Bible study to go alongside with it. And I looked at it, I said, I was just praying for myself. It's the weirdest. And as I go on in this kind of thing, that I literally have been praying that God would raise somebody up, and he gets me this opportunity, and I got the opportunity to write Bible studies that went along with Courageous and The War Room and different stuff like this. But before I did, I met with these guys who are making the movie. They show me the movie. They give me the script, and we sit down at a meal, and they look at me, and they say, before you sign up, we need you to know this. We are trying to impact the kingdom of darkness in such a way that we want fathers to raise up and do what God has called them to do. Everyone who signs up with us at this level will get attacked from the enemy. Are you sure you want in? I'm like, oh, that's fine. No, that ain't a problem. They're like, no, seriously. You will be attacked in some ways that you have never, ever seen before. And we'll give you till tomorrow morning to see, because the devil is going to come against you with everything he's got. If you want out tomorrow morning, tell us you're out and we'll have no problems whatsoever. And I came back that night and prayed in my hotel room and came back that morning and said, let's get to work. And that day, as I had had previous 30 years of perfect health, started a nagging chronic pain in my body that would not go away. Every day I lived with such severe pain, and the doctors could not tell me what to do with it, could not help fix it, could not alleviate it. Every single day I was struggling to get out of bed and be a good husband and be a good father and even to want to write this stuff in the Bible, because I was hurting so bad. I submit the first draft. Guess what happens? Pain's gone. I'm like, whew, okay, good thing. Next problem, Lifeway sends it back, says, hey, we changed the idea. Can you redraft chapter 6? I went, oh, no, the pain's going to come. It didn't come. You know what happened that day? I got that email. My wife falls off the front porch and breaks her ankle. As I go and check on her, she pulls my shirt to her and says, finish this thing. Yes, ma'am. Can I just tell you this? If you want to live for Jesus, you really want to live the gospel, you're going to have some opposition. But church, can I tell you something? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And I would rather be on Satan's hit list than just somebody being plain church, unbeknownst to what the spiritual realm is going on today. Like, how about we just do this thing today? How about we drive back through the power of the Holy Spirit the forces of darkness in this city that's trying to cloud over it and steal and kill and destroy? Like, how many of you would like to drive back the kingdom of darkness and say the kingdom of God is in this city and it is advancing, the kingdom is coming? Anybody with me today? Does anybody want to see that happen? Okay, this is scary. I'm saying this, that the kingdom of God is here, and if we want to live for the gospel today, he can do immeasurably more than all that we ask or think. And so, Father, I ask in the powerful name of Jesus that you would drive back the forces of the enemy, that you would cause us to live in such a way that the enemies would know us by name. Why? Because we submit to you, we're resisting the work of the devil, and we're watching him flee from every apartment complex, from every mission site that we go to, in every single situation that we're in today. Lord, we want to live for your gospel. Will we be able to see what you can do in this city when we submit ourselves to you? Lord, we ask for a great harvest today, not for our name, not for our renown, but for the one that we follow. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, amen.